الله سبحانه وتعالى says يعبدونني ولا يشركون بي شيئا. They should worship me and not associate partners with me, anyone or anything. When the deen is established, then there will be no shirk. It will end. When that time comes, shirk will not be anywhere, because when deen prevails, everyone will worship Allah alone, and no one will tolerate shirk. We learn until the law of Allah is not followed, and deen is not established, and the righteous do not have the succession, then shirk will remain in the society. Even if a society considers and calls itself Muslim, shirk will not end. As we see in Muslim countries, people are doing shirk and worshipping graves. There are many places where people are worshipping other than Allah by supplicating to them, making offerings to them. People think they are true believers and good Muslims, but they are deceiving themselves. In a hadith, it is mentioned that two men were passing by a town, and the people of the town said, "Unless you offer a sacrifice to our idol, you cannot leave from here." One man said, "I do not have anything to offer." They said, "If you do not have anything, it's okay. Even if you get a fly, you have to make an offering to leave alive from here." So one of them said, "It's such a small thing." And he took a fly, killed it, and gave it as an offering. The other man refused, and he said, "I will never give an offering to an idol." So they killed him. He was martyred and went to go to Jannah, while the one who made the offering of the fly became dweller of the hellfire. This is in the hadith. People think that the blankets put on the graves and making offerings and dedications to the graves are not shirk. They think only bowing to graves is shirk, while going to sacrificial altars and graves and supplicating to those in the grave is not shirk. Rather, it is grave shirk. They think they present their supplications to certain saints or righteous people who are deceased, so they can supplicate to Allah on their behalf. This is because they did not understand or know the meaning of إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, whatever we say so many times in our salahs. They do not know what shirk is. Shirk is not only in Allah's being or zat. This is not done just by saying we believe in Him and we do not call Isa alayhi salam son of God, nor attribute a son for Allah. Therefore, think all is well. The shirk people commonly commit is in the attributes of Allah. This is called shirk fis-sifat. And this too is a big shirk. There are two types of shirk. The first shirk is shirk-e-akbar, which means the greater shirk. And then the second is shirk-e-asghar, which is a smaller form of shirk. Example of this form of shirk-e-asghar is Riya, which is showing off, and it is also called shirki khafi. Then there is shirki akbar, for which there is no excuse or forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكُ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Allah will not forgive shirk. Aside from that, He will forgive any other sin He wills. He has not guaranteed forgiveness for anyone except for whom He wills. And whoever dies while doing shirk will not enter Jannah and will be going to hellfire. This is a Muslim hadith. Even the shirk-e-akbar has three forms. The first is shirk fil-ilm. Allah is nearest to His creation. To reach Him, there is no need for any intercessor, nor any means. He is the watcher and protector of everyone. He is with His creation with His attributes. He is omniscient, all-seeing and all-knowing, and present. It doesn't mean that Allah is physically present in this world. This does not suit His majesty. He cannot be physically present everywhere, but because of His attributes, He observes everything and everyone himself, and has knowledge of everything. He sees the visible, the hidden, day or night, future or past, anything upon peaks of the mountains or depths of the seas. He has knowledge of everything. But if anyone says so and so, Wali Allah or saint, they too can hear your plea from wherever someone is, or can help him in their difficulty, or by calling out their names by saying, Ya so and so, or bless food with their name, or when one thinks that when they think of so and so, Shaykh, they know the condition of their followers and can solve their problems. These are all forms of shirk. The second form of major shirk is shirk fit tasarruf, thinking anyone else other than Allah has the authority over certain matters, such as provision or removing an illness, or bestowal of happiness or sadness, rise or fall, or victory or loss, or ability to remove a difficulty, and the ability to fulfill the needs of the needy, or having the ability or power over affairs. This authority is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. If anyone thinks that their murshid or spiritual leader has the authority, then this is also shirk. Or to think that anyone else has power to cure someone, or provide sustenance, or authority to grant a child, or think someone else has might and power to give a child. No, this is also shirk. Shirk can be very undetectable, and we must understand its forms, because if we do not understand in all its forms, then all the salah, the fasting, the charity, they all get wasted. If there is a poison of shirk, just as a pinch or a drop of poison is mixed in a pot of food, the entire pot of food will be poisoned. Even if it was a pinch, it was poison. This is how shirk is. Today, Muslims are being punished due to their shirk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions how He dealt with the different nations in the past. They all committed shirk. And today, Muslims, while in Islam, do shirk. Their aqidah is corrupted, and there is a lot of shirk. Some people say our Shaykh is sitting in a different country, and while we sit here, they can solve our problems, and they find out about our conditions and see everything. It is visible to them, saying they know the secrets of the hearts. Even if no one tells them, they know our problems. Or calling out to Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, seeking his help. What is this? This is all shirk. Third shirk is shirk fil ibadat, shirk in worship of Allah, what is included in worship. Ruku, sajda, prostration, salah, prayer, fasting, spending the wealth, doing tawaf, sacrificing with His name, supplicating, all these are forms of worship. If any of these, if someone else is associated with Allah in them, then this is shirk. So many people face towards Baghdad and pray prayer of Wasiyah to think they will be saved this way, or reading over with the name of Abdul Qadir Jilani. Also, many graves are prostrated to. People are in position of rukus. In addition, standing with the hands in a position of a prayer to anyone other than towards Allah is all shirk. Reverence is a part of worship. Allah has commanded reverence in His rukus, sajda, which are to be for Him alone and no one else. If anyone holds the same amount of reverence for graves of someone, that is shirk. Also, calling someone with the name of Qutb, Abdal, or saying so-and-so is a wali, or has the ability to give rain, or in their hands are fortunes for people granted by Allah, and they take care of all these things. These are all types of shirk, and their examples are under shirk-e-akbar. Shirk is not just worshipping to idols. If anyone does anything from the three types of shirk mentioned, They all come under the category of greater shirk. There are other types of shirk, such as doing shirk in ita'at or obedience of Allah. When obedience of Allah is in a certain matter, and then there is the desire of the nafs, the self. The command of Allah is something, and the desire of self and want is in something else. And this becomes a problem, and there is a struggle within the heart. If a person wants to do this, but the command of Allah is something else, what to do? This struggle we go through every day as a tug of war. For example, if we hear the azan and know the call of salah is made, but still do not want to get up because we feel like sleeping. What is the demand of Allah? And what does our heart demand? Who do we listen to? This is shirk fil ita'at. Shirk in obedience. When someone equates or supersedes the desires of the nafs above the commands and will of Allah, while desire of the nafs should be under the commands and the will of Allah, no matter what the heart wants. Shirk is when someone says, I will do it if I want, and I will not do it if I do not want. This is all shirk. This is mentioned in the Quran, specifically in two places. In Surah Al-Furqan, Ayah 43, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ. Did you see who made his desires, his ilah, his god? Meaning the desires of the nafs are made into gods. And then in Surah Al-Jathiyah, Ayah 23, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ. Did you see who took his desires as ilah, when follow after what the heart desires, making it God? We might think we are upon Tawheed when we stand in front of Allah in our prayers, but our heart is not submitted to Him, then there is no Tawheed. Whoever places their desires above the commands and will of Allah, then he has committed shirk. When the person only wants to follow their own desires and doesn't care what Allah tells him. Just as when Fir'aun said to Musa alayhi salam, I do not know any other God besides me. Who are you talking about? I am the master of Egypt. Similarly, our nafs is not less than Fir'aun. When the person says, my heart says this, and I do not care what is halal and haram, and I do not believe in it. I will do what I want. Even if we do not have the following and an army as of Fir'aun, but if the heart is telling us what to do, then this is shirk. Shirk is also in love, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. And from mankind are those who take from besides Allah those they love as they should love Allah. If any personality, person or thing is so beloved, just as Allah should be loved, as a person should have love for Allah the most. But if the love for those others than Allah exceed love for Allah, then this is shirk. As a real test for Ibrahim alayhi salam was a test of his love. He passed all the tests. He sacrificed love for his parents, love for his nation, his people, and the last child was a love for his son, who was his only son that he was bestowed in his very old age. The son who was kind, affectionate, pious, and obedient. This was his last test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Ibrahim alayhi salam to make sure his love for his son was not more than his love for Allah. He was ready to sacrifice him to prove his love for Allah. When he did this, he attained the high ranks of Tawheed and passed this test. And if he had not, then there was something he loved more than Allah. Where do we stand? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah At-Tawbah, if your fathers, your sons, your brothers and your spouses and your relations, and the wealth you have gathered with hard work, your trade which you fear loss of, your homes you love, if they are all more beloved to you than Allah, His Messenger, and doing jihad in His way, then go and wait until Allah brings His judgment. When we recite kalima, this is not a small matter, but attesting to something very big that we say with our mouths. This is why Jannah is promised for it. We memorize kalima of shahada at a very young age, but we do not know its demands. We do not know the good, bad, and benefit and loss. We do not know our loss, or decline, or life, or death, or provision of sustenance. Children are all in hands of Allah, or living and dying are for Allah. He is Ilah alone in our lives and no one else. Then after that worshipping, considering anyone else, owners of our benefit or loss, and making sacrifices and supplications to others is called shirk fi ibadah. That is the root of worship. Also, worship must have sincerity, not to show off to other people or gain recognition or want of appreciation from people. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever prayed salah for show is shirk, or anyone fasted for show is shirk, or anyone gave charity for show is shirk. This is a very vast topic. Shirk-i khafi is only known by the one who does that shirk. So shirk of every kind should be eliminated from our lives. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. So whoever disbelieved after that, then those are the ones who cross limits. After that, it means when deen has become established. This is when conditions have become stable for Muslims. Then after that, anyone disbelieves, the limits have crossed, and they have rebellion in them. While if they had goodness, they would have obeyed. When there is no longer any hindrances. Now we learn what we should do if we want mercy and blessings of Allah. As we need mercy of Allah to live in this world, and we cannot accomplish anything good without the mercy of Allah, and also in the hereafter. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Jannah is a blessing and a mercy of Allah. But how do we get these blessings of Allah? When we do these three things, then we can become eligible for mercy and blessing of Allah. Just as when one wants to get admitted to an institution, the person has to show certain skills or degrees. So to become deserving or qualified for mercy of Allah, a person has to have these three qualities, then they will get the mercy of Allah. And if they are not there, they cannot expect His mercy. So the first quality, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاحِ, and establish the sabah. Salah must be established to qualify for Allah's mercy. There is a difference in establishing and praying Salah. In establishing, it is not just praying, but completing all its conditions in praying, taking care of praying at its appropriate time, having purity of clothes and the place of worship, and fulfilling all the conditions and praying according to the sunnah. All that is needed for prayer is included. This is the promise of Allah with you. Muslims are told to establish the prayer. Number 2, وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ, give the zakah, the mandatory alms. System of zakah must be established in order to do this. وَآتِيُ الرَّسُولِ, and obey the messenger. And this was the thing most difficult for the munafiq or the hypocrites. They would say, why do you tell us to obey you? We will obey Allah. Why should we obey you? This surah constantly mentions obedience of the Prophet ﷺ. This is not just by saying, I love the Prophet, or by just reciting poetry for him. This is not obedience of the Prophet. And a person cannot truly love the Prophet until they obey him in everything. Obedience is the criteria by which one who truly loves him will be recognized. And if we want to be among those who love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam intensely, then we have to see how we can follow him, how his life was, and what were the things he told us to do, and what he prohibited us from doing. We must know about them and follow them. Then there will be obedience. However, if we do not know anything about his life, nor we know about what he had done or said in his life, nor we feel acceptability to his commands, and find them difficult, and feel that we cannot obey them, nor have the desire to follow the sunnah, and live the life without having any want to learn about his commands, just know about his sunnah from hearsay, this is not obedience. If we want to obey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should learn his seerah and make an effort to learn the ahadith, to know about his commands, and then to follow them. There should not be any objections in them as well. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Do it so you are shown mercy. لَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مُعْجِزِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Those who disbelieved should not think they are the ones to frustrate. It doesn't say who they think they can frustrate. Just because Muslims are helpless today, they should know that this is not how it will remain. They cannot overpower Allah. They cannot make Allah incapable. Na'udhu billah. This is good news for the believers, and it tells them that they will prevail. Secondly, just because they have become powerful in the world doesn't mean they can overpower and rid the deen of Allah. This will not happen. وَمَأْوَاهُمُ النَّارُ وَلَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ. And their abode is fire, and surely it is a bad place of return. Sometimes when people see the prosperity of other nations, people think Muslims can never rise, and their dominance and control will remain always. They cannot defeat Allah, na'udhu billah. The promise of Allah is true and will be fulfilled as He promised. The real matter is not about anyone else, but for Muslims to have true faith and do good and righteous deeds. Victory is not gained by resorting to violence, nor this is serving the deen. The Quran tells us to work on ourselves first, correct one's own belief, and correct one's own conduct. Deen is not established by violence. Fear will not be removed nor come out of the state of humiliation with violence. We are given the guidance on what to do to be successful. We are to fulfill our obligation, then Allah will fulfill His obligation. No one can change and avert the decrees of Allah. The fact of the matter is, what are our deeds? Now again, we learn the ayah of isti'zan. Previously, we learned about seeking permission when entering one's home and how to seek permission before entering. Long ago, before advent of doorbells, a person had to get permission to go to someone's house at their door. But today, we have means to get someone's permission ahead of time and do not need to gain permission at the door. The rule is no one is allowed to enter any person's home without their permission. Even the people of the household, if they enter their own home, they do not need to seek permission to enter. However, they should let those at home know that they are coming or entering by clearing their throat or with the sound of the footsteps to show that it is the husband who is about to enter the home and doesn't arouse any fear. This is an informal notification of entering. Now we learn about the rules of going to those within the house. Do they need permission? About this ayah, two men asked Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu for an explanation. Where Allah has commanded for privacy three times during the day, Ibn Abbas said that Allah does satr and he loves satr. Long ago, people did not even have curtains upon their outside doors. They could not afford them, and nor the homes had means of keeping privacy. So sometimes their servant or son or daughter would just come to see them. They would enter without letting them know, and the man of the house would be occupied with his wife. If there were people living within the home, they could come unannounced, and there was no curtain, and it would become a source of embarrassment. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded that at three specific times of the day, people within the home cannot enter upon the room or area where the adults would be resting. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave prosperity to Muslims and were able to put curtains upon their doors. So the people thought that just putting their curtains was sufficient and permission was no longer needed. So people became relaxed about this command. Musa bin Abi Aisha said, I asked Shabi about this ayah. He said this ayah was not made mansukh, which means removed, but people stopped acting upon it. People have thought that because now they have curtains, they do not need to follow this ayah, and as no one can look in. Some people have said that this ayah has been made mansukh, as Ibn Musayyib and Ibn Jubayr have considered it mansukh. Abu Qalaba has said that the command in this ayah is mustahab, meaning recommended and liked if done, but not wajib. Because this came when doors of homes did not have curtains, therefore, if that time ever comes again, when there are no doors, then this becomes wajib. Once the Prophet ﷺ sent someone to get Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was in his home. When the person went, he was sleeping. At that time, he wished for a command from Allah where people just wouldn't enter without permission. These days, we have doors and locks and can lock the doors so people do not enter unannounced. But if anyone revives these commands, they will get rewarded. Because this command is from those commands that people have abandoned, thinking it does not even exist. As Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, there are such ayahs in the Quran which people have left its following. One is this ayah. Ayah is the azan. We will learn about inshallah. Secondly, the ayah is in Surah An-Nisa. وَإِذَا حَضَرَ الْقِسْمَةُ أُولُو الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. When inheritance is being distributed, the inheritors are advised that if at the time of distribution, if any relations or orphans come or poor, give them from the inheritance something, as they are looking, so they don't feel left out. And the third ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Indeed, the most honorable with Allah is one most God-fearing. Today, people consider someone respectable and noble who has wealth and has a big home and luxuries of the world. So he said about these three ayahs that people have stopped in his following. People have been overtaken by shaitan and do not find these ayahs worthy to be followed. Now we will look at the ayah. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, liyasta'zinkumu alladhina malakat aymanukum. Number one, should seek permission those whom your right hand possess. Who are these referring to? Whenever this is mentioned, it means male and female slaves, those you are the masters of. They should seek your permission. Who else needs to get permission? وَالَّذِينَ لَمْ يَبْلُغُوا الْحُلُمَ مِنْكُمْ. Number two, those from you who did not reach puberty, mean small children. Here two people are mentioned who need to get permission to enter. ثلاث مرات, three times during the day. These people need to gain permission to enter upon you. What time? Number one. من قبل صلاة الفجر, from before the Fajr Salah. وحين تضعون ثيابكم من الظهيرة. Number two, at when you take off your clothes at afternoon or time of Zuhr, when people take their naps. This is not done here, but in many countries, people go home at lunchtime, eat their lunch and take a nap, and then go back to work. وَمِن بَعْدِ صَلَاةِ الْإِشَاءِ. Number three, after the time of Isha prayer. It is important that kids and servants get permission before entering the room. What are these times? ثَلَاثَ أَوْرَاتٍ لَكُمْ. These three times of privacy for you. During these times of privacy, it is not permissible for anyone to enter the room without permission. Why? Because the person might be in their night suit or wearing something that he does not want anyone to see them in. Or the wife is with her husband at that time, or the husband and wife need their privacy. There is great wisdom in these commands because these are the three times where care of privacy is needed. So when this command was revealed, people understood that entering upon someone without permission was forbidden at these three times, and they became relaxed. And if anyone entered unannounced, the husband and the wife and the comer would feel embarrassed. So this is for the servants and also for small children. These are matters of privacy which need to be kept private in front of them and is not good for them. We learn that after a certain age a child reaches, even their beds should be separated so they are not exposed to private matters. Whereas those who let their kids sleep with them until they get old, it would be harmful to them psychologically, and it shouldn't be that kids open the door and come in between the parents to lay down and sleep. We should teach kids at a young age to knock before entering, especially in these three times. Even if we do not take naps and are busy in doing work in the kitchen or anywhere else at that time, then it does not apply. But in homes where there is nap time in the afternoon, then this rule has to be observed and permission has to be sought before entering the bedroom. Sometimes kids sleep later than parents and have a habit to walk in while parents are in bed. Then the kids should be taught to knock so there is no difficulty arising from it. This is still mustahab. And why are these times mentioned specifically? This is because people are usually free at that time and at home and resting. Therefore, children must be taught these etiquettes from the beginning. لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَا عَلَيْهِمْ جُنَاهُمْ بَعْدَهُنْ. Before these times and after these times, there is no sin. So there is no sin if they enter or go about the house other than these times. Here, sin doesn't mean a sin, but any harm. Kids and servants can go around the house. تَوَّافُونَ عَلَيْكُمْ بَعْدُكُمْ عَلَى بَعْدٍ. They go around upon you, some of you upon others, as servants go about cleaning in the house during the day, and would make it difficult if they had to ask permission every time. And also for the kids. This does not apply to the male servants, such as cooks or drivers, rather the slaves which were kept in those times. They are in a different category. And there is a hijab that must be observed in front of the male servants, just as with any other non-mahram male. Many times we see women dressed up without their hijab in front of their male servants, just as they are in front of their husbands, while this is not allowed. تَوَّافُونَ عَلَيْكُمْ بَعْدُكُمْ عَلَى بَعْدٍ means going about to each other during the day. there is no harm except during those three times. كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ. Likewise, Allah makes clear the ayat for you. The ayat of Allah explain clearly and openly. Even matters of privacy are taken care of for our comfort, and so we can avoid hardships or difficulties. Even the private time between the husband and wife are not disrupted, and they have to be constantly worried that someone would enter without permission. When the kids are taught to knock and get permission before entering, and it is important that they wait for the response. Sometimes we teach kids to knock, and they knock and enter without waiting for permission. This is not correct. They should knock and get permission before entering, and should only enter when permission is given. Wallahu alimun hakim, and Allah is all-knowing and all-wise. He gave us these commands, knowing about our needs, and there is a great wisdom in them. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. Please listen to the recitation.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وعد الله الذين آمنوا منكم وعملوا الصالحات ليستخلفنهم في الأرض كما استخلف الذين من قبلهم وليمكنن لهم دينهم الذي ارتضى لهم وليبدلنهم من بعد خوفهم أمنا يعبدونني لا يشركون بي شيئا ومن كفر بعد ذلك فأولئك هم الفاسقون وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وأطيعوا الرسول لعلكم ترحمون لا تحسبن الذين كفروا معجزين في الأرض لا تحسبن الذين كفروا معجزين في الأرض ومأواهم النار ولبئس المصير يا أيها الذين آمنوا ليستأذنكم الذين ملكت أيمانكم والذين لم يبلغوا الحلم منكم ثلاث مرات من قبل صلاة الفجر وحين تضعون ثيابكم من الظهيرة ومن بعد صلاة العشاء ثلاث عورات لكم ليس عليكم ولا عليهم جناح بعدهن طوافون عليكم بعضكم على بعض كذلك يبين الله لكم الآيات والله عليم حكيم